Welcome to the Three Creeks Church podcast. We are a church in Gahanna, Ohio, and our vision is to help people find and follow God. And this podcast is one way we do that. We are in a series called Finding Joy, and we're going through the book of Philippians. In this letter, Paul shares the secret to true contentment and deep joy in the middle of the crazy world we're living in. We hope that through this series, you'll find the only place where true, lasting joy can be found.
All right. Well, good morning, Three Creeks. My name's Joel, and I get to be the pastor here. If you're here for the first time, welcome. And if you are here again, what's up? Welcome back. Good to see everybody. Everybody in the room could have been anywhere else today, and you chose to be here. And for that, I'm thankful. I hope that after 35 minutes or so, I hope that you leave today very encouraged. I hope that you leave with a jump in your step, because I believe that what Paul shares with us at the end of chapter 3 of Philippians that my friend Andrew just read, I think that it can be a boost for you on this cold March morning. We are in week 8 of a series called Finding Joy, and we're making our way through the book of Philippians. We're going through it verse by verse, and the 5 or 6 verses that I'm going to be going through this morning are the ones that Andrew just read. And like I said, I hope they're a boost to you. Have you ever been rock climbing? By show of hands, I actually want to see. Have you ever been rock climbing? Anybody in the room? All right. I have been rock climbing. I don't know if this comes as a surprise to you based on looking at me, but I was not good at it. Soccer legs and rock climbing do not go well together. They kept telling me to kind of get my body like close to the wall, but I kept, the whole time I was like this, like I couldn't figure it out. And I was really bad at it, and I hope to never have to endure that kind of pain again. Have you ever been outside rock wall climbing, though? Because there's a difference, right? You can go to these gyms, you walk in, you're like, that can't seem that hard. It seems like there's 1,000 things to hold on to. And then they say, well, you can only do the green ones. And you're like, oh, well, that just got harder. If you go outside, it's a lot prettier to look at, but it's just as hard, if not harder, if you're outside. I went with a group of friends outside of Colorado Springs, Colorado, one time. Everybody that I went with had been rock climbing 100 times before, and I was the rookie first time. So I go out there, and in this place in Colorado specifically, it was beautiful, and lots of people went there because it was kind of this destination to go rock climbing, because you walked out, and there was this maybe 75-foot rock wall right in front of your face, but it went on for, I think, a mile or so. And you would walk along the bottom of this rock face, and you would pass hundreds of people who had already set up to rock climb that day. That because it had been climbed thousands of times before, there's already little hooks, and there's already little, you know, places where the chalk from their hands, you can tell where the holds are. I mean, the whole wall is covered in routes that have already been set. I'm not sure how familiar you are with technical rock climbing, but the easiest route there is called a 5.0, and that's essentially like climbing a flight of stairs, which most of us can do. All the way up to, the hardest one is 5.15 or 5.15, I'm not sure what people that rock climb call it, but you get my point. There's a spectrum, 0 to 15, and the higher you go, the harder it is. 15 is like incredibly difficult. The best climbers in the world are climbing 5.15s. And so we get out there and they're like, Joel, what do you want to start with? What do you want to try? I'm like, this is rock climbing. How hard can it possibly be? 5.10? I don't know. And they just like look at me and giggle. Like, he's cute. So I said, well, okay, let's start with 5.6. I'll just show you guys what I'm made of here. So we go to 5.6, and it was difficult. I mean, it took me like 45 minutes of sweating, and my arms are just killing me. And it really wasn't that hard, but I made it to the top, right? I made it to the top. Nobody could really see how stressed I was up on the wall. So I get down. I'm like, nailed it. Give me another one, right? I'll jump 5.7. Let's go 5.8, you know? And so I go to 5.8, and I get halfway up the wall, and I can't even go any further. And you can't climb down. You can't start over. You can't, without being really embarrassed, the only way to do it is to jump off. You either get to the top, or you jump off, and you hope that the ropes catch you. Frankly, it was a miserable experience for me. I don't know why. It wasn't my thing. I wasn't very good at it. The harness doesn't look great on me, nor anyone else on the earth. And it just wasn't my thing. They're on the way home, they're planning their next climbing trip. But I'm like, I'm busy. I don't know when you're talking about, but I'm occupied. I'm not going to be able to make the next one. Sorry, guys. Thanks for taking me. And I just, it was funny to me, though, because everybody else in the car on the way there and the way back, they seemed to have a great time. It didn't matter if they were climbing 5.6, 5.7, 5.9, 5.10. It didn't matter what they had climbed. They all were having a great time. And I was trying to figure out, why didn't I have a great time? Why didn't I enjoy myself when I went rock climbing? And I was thinking about this, and I thought about it when I read the end of chapter 3 of Philippians, because I figured out that the reason I didn't like rock climbing that day was because the whole time I just spent 3 hours looking to my right and looking to my left and seeing how good everybody else was doing. I was seeing everybody climb better than me or faster than me or different than me. And I spent the whole time, I didn't enjoy myself because I just spent the whole day comparing myself to other people. The only way for me to enjoy myself that day would have been for me to climb a 5.15 at record speed, get the top like Rocky, put my hands in the air and go, see, now I can enjoy this because I've defeated all of you. Like, that was my mentality as I went rock climbing that day. And I realized that everybody else, they just didn't have that quite as much as me. I'm not sure why, but I didn't enjoy myself because I was comparing myself to everybody else the whole day. And I thought, man, that's a lot like what we do in church sometimes, is we spend our time comparing our faith journey to somebody else's faith journey, and we don't even really enjoy our faith that much. I wrote it down this way. I just wrote this question. I said, has anyone else ever felt like they don't measure up to other Christians? Has anyone else here compared where they are spiritually to where somebody else is spiritually, and you've let that discourage you? Have you ever left church feeling like you're not going to be as good as somebody else? No matter how hard you try, you're just further behind. You've just been doing it for less time. You're not as disciplined as that person. And so you leave church and you compare yourself to other people. And so you don't even really enjoy a lot of your faith. We're going through this series called Finding Joy. And if you remember, if you were here at the beginning of the year, I pitched to you at the beginning that we're all on a search for more joy. If I were to ask the question, is anybody interested in having more joy in their life? If we're all honest, we'd all raise our hands and say, yes, I would love some more joy in my life. Then I shared with you that in Philippians, Paul shares all these secrets to the joy-filled life. That if you would just listen to Paul and you would look at this book in the Bible, that the secrets to the joy-filled life are found in it. And then we've kind of just been going through verse by verse by verse, but if we're not careful, man, it can actually kind of put a lot of pressure on us and actually take us further away from joy than we were to begin with. You know, if you think about it, you go back to chapter 1, Paul talks about how he's constantly praying for joy because of their unity, their partnership with one another and with Paul. And then he goes on, he says, I'm in jail, but you know what? I'm actually fired up that I'm in jail because I got a chance to share my faith with the guards. Like, they wouldn't have come to church, but I get to share my faith with them now that I'm in jail. He talks about these people that are preaching about Jesus out of envy and rivalry. And because they're doing that, Paul is being treated more poorly and worse than he was to begin with. But he goes, you know what? It's okay. As long as Christ is preached, I rejoice. I rejoice. That's just chapter 1. Chapter 2, he goes, hey, listen, do nothing out of your own interests. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, always consider other people better than yourselves. In fact, have the same attitude of Jesus, who was 100% humble all the time. So just do that. And he says, you know, you got to stop complaining. You got to stop arguing. You got to stop grumbling. You got to be a great friend. You got to be a loyal and godly and trustworthy friend. And then John shared with us last week in chapter 3 that everything that we think adds value to our life, all the things that we pursue that make us impressive in any way, shape, or form, we should chuck all of that out. The only thing that can bring joy is knowing Christ. And if you're anything like me, I read the first 2.5 chapters of Philippians and go, do I have to do all of that to get joy? Like at the same time? this seems like a tall task. It seems impossible, frankly, for me, if I read it and go, I don't know if I'm going to be able to measure up to all of that. It seems like a long list. And then I look and go, well, that's 2.5 chapters. And there's 4 chapters in Philippians. Is he going to keep adding to the list of things that I need to do in order to get joy in my life? If we're not careful, if we read this the wrong way, this book piles a lot of pressure on us. And when we don't feel like we have joy in our lives, we go, well, I guess I'm just not trying hard enough to be like Jesus and be like Paul. If you'll just do me a favor this morning and understand that I came here this morning, Three Creeks, to tell you that we ought to stop putting so much pressure on ourselves. That we really ought to stop putting so much pressure on ourselves, that we ought to stop comparing our faith to somebody else's faith, and we should stop putting pressure on ourselves, because the joy-filled life is not reserved for elite Christians. You don't have to be an elite Christian to experience joy in your life. At least that's what Paul says in chapter 3. Because what Paul says in chapter 3, it's almost as if he's writing and he's writing and he's writing about all these things about himself and about their church and about Jesus. It's almost as if he gets to the point in the middle of chapter 3 and he goes, well, wait a minute. I'm going to take a pause just for a second. Let me just make sure we're all on the same page. And this is what he writes in Philippians 3 verse 12. He goes, not that I have obtained all of this. I don't want anybody to be confused. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. Paul's the one writing this. The term arrived at my goal in the language that Paul originally wrote it in, it's the word telaao, which means to be made perfect. Paul's going, I just want everybody to understand, not that I have ever obtained all this, not that I am perfect, not that I have done everything that I'm telling you we ought to do in chapters 1 and 2 and the first half of chapter 3. He's going, I'm not perfect either. In verse 13, the next verse, he goes, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I don't feel like I'm acing it. And to me, if I'm being honest, I find it to be refreshing that Paul doesn't think that he's acing it either. Because when I spend time reading my Bible, and when I look at the way that I ought to live my life to honor the Lord, rarely do I go through a list of things in the New Testament and go, man, nailing it, killing it, crushing it. Like that, these are not the thoughts that I have. The thoughts that I more often have are, wow, that is not how I'm living every day. Wow, I really wish I hadn't read that. A lot of work to go, like a lot of work to do, a ways to go. And for me, when I read Paul write, not that I've already obtained all this, not that I'm perfect, not that I have taken hold of all this, brothers and sisters, to me, it's refreshing because it doesn't feel like I'm the only one who's struggling a little bit. It doesn't feel like I'm the only one who's got a ways to go. So Paul writes, I'm not perfect, but then he finishes verse 13. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I press on. I'm not perfect, but I press on. He actually says, he admits that he's short of perfect twice, but then he says in verse 12 and 13 twice, but I press on. Here's what I want you to take from these two verses. It's that nobody here is perfect. We're not perfect. You're not perfect. If you think you are, you're less perfect than me, I guess. I don't know. You're not. Nobody is. And we should be able to just exhale and let that be okay for a second. You're not perfect. But we can't remain potential. We're called to press on. We're not perfect, but we can't remain potential. We're called to press on. Do you know somebody who just perpetually exists as potential? Maybe you feel like you're a person that has perpetually existed like potential. The person who one day is going to come around Oh, one day they're going to figure it out. One day they're going to stop doing that. One day they're going to start doing that. One day they're going to be a leader. They got a lot of potential. Have you ever known somebody who's still potential like 5 years later? I have. Paul's saying, listen, potential people always have a way of telling you what they're going to do, but they never press on. They never actually do it. Paul's going, we're not perfect. That's okay. Everybody take a deep breath. Not that I've already obtained all this. Not that I've already taken hold of it. Not that you've obtained all of it or taken hold of it yourself, but we got to press on. We got to press on. And then Paul tells us how to do it. And frankly, I'm like, oh no, he's going to pour on the pressure again. He actually relieves the pressure again. In verse 13, he says, this is how we ought to press on. He goes, verse 15. All of us then who are mature, we should take such a view of these things. You should know that you're not perfect, but you ought to know to press on. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make it clear to you. And then verse 16, I love it. He goes, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Let's just live up to what we've already attained. If you want to press on, it starts with being completely honest with where you're at. If you want to not feel the pressure to be an elite Christian, if you want to just press on and take your next step of faith, it starts by being really honest about where you're at. It starts with us not trying to impress anybody. It starts with us not acting like we're something that we're not. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Let's just be honest about where we're at. I don't know about you, but when I hang around Christian people, I find it very easy to speak Christian language. If you spend any amount of time at all with Christian people, it's easy to say the word fellowship and discipleship and getting in the word and guarding your heart, getting an accountability partner. I'm going through a season. It's easy, man. It's easy. The list goes on and on. Our kids director, Erica Kambitz, she started a podcast. And the topic of her podcast is she's starting out with this series on things that Christians say that they don't even know what they mean. And she could go on for years because there's so much content to use because we say all of these Christian things. And if we're honest, we don't even know what they mean half the time. Maybe, I'm just telling you, starting to pressing on starts with us just being unbelievably honest with where we're at. Maybe the reason that you don't feel like you've grown spiritually in a few months or a few years is because you haven't started with just being really honest about where you're at. Maybe you have been a Christian for a while, but right now you have some doubts. You've begun to ask some questions. Just be honest about where you're at. You're not the only person in the room that feels that way. Just start by being honest with where you're at. Only live up to what you've attained. Maybe you have been struggling with the same sin for years. You feel like you've tried everything. And you just can't break the cycle. Just be honest about that first. It's going to be tough for you to take the next step if you're not willing to acknowledge where you're at. Only live up to what you've attained. Maybe you get excited about the idea of discipling somebody. You feel called to mentor or pour into somebody who's younger than you, but you don't know how to start. You don't really know how to ask. And the first time you sit down with that person, you don't know what to say. Just be honest about that. Just be honest. Maybe you, I feel like there's somebody in here that feels this way. You have been a Christian your whole life because your parents were Christians. You grew up going to church, college, drifted away from it. Now you're kind of getting back into things. And you, if you looked at like your life and the evidence of a faith, there wouldn't be a lot of evidence that you are following Jesus. And you've begun to question in your own mind, was that ever even real for me? Am I saved? Am I really a Christ follower? Just be honest. Only live up to what you have attained. Just start by being honest. Haven't we figured out that there's no joy in faking it? I mean, haven't you figured that out yet in your life? That there's no joy in putting up a front, that there's no joy in wearing a mask, there's no joy in acting like something that you're not. Haven't, just for a minute, you experienced the joy in just being authentically who you are, where you're at, being totally honest with where you're at? If you've never experienced that, you ought to try it. There's some joy there. There's joy there. Just be totally honest with where you're at. I think the best way for me to offer you an action step off of this, like if I look at these three or four or five verses that Paul's sharing, he's saying, hey, listen, nobody's perfect, but we're called to press on. But just start off with just being honest about where you're at. Only live up to what you have attained. Don't try to put on the super Christian front. Just be honest about where you're at. I think the way that Paul would want us to respond to these verses would be this. Let me just ask you the question. What is your next step in your faith? What does it look like for you to press on? And let me be unbelievably clear that I am not asking what you think the person sitting next to you, what you think their step ought to be. I am not asking what you think your spouse ought to do to press on. I'm not asking you what you think your roommate ought to do to press on. I'm asking you, what is your next step? What does it look like for you to press on? I would think that for somebody in here, your clear next step would be to be baptized, to publicly tell everybody that you're going to follow Jesus for the rest of your life. I would think somebody's next step in here would be to sign up for Deeper Weekend. You feel inclined to disciple somebody, but you don't really know how to start. You got to sign up. I think somebody in here, your next step would be to forgive somebody that you have been holding a grudge against. To forgive as the Lord forgave you. I'm not asking what anybody else's step is, and I'm not telling you what mine is, and I'm not telling you what yours ought to be. I'm just asking you, what's your next step? Where you're at? Be honest about where you're at. What's your next step? Maybe your next step is reading the Bible for 10 minutes every day this week. And honestly, maybe that step is for somebody who has been claiming to be in the Word a lot. But if you're honest, January and February, it has been few and far between. Honestly, just be honest about where you're at. Maybe this week, starting today, it's March 1st, perfect start date. If anybody else is like me, it's going to be a great month. Start off, I'm going to read the Bible for 10 minutes every day this week. I'm only going to live up to what I've attained. I'm going to be honest with where I'm at. That's my next step. Awesome. It's not that complicated. It's really quite simple. What's your next step? Maybe for you, it's just to put a reminder on your phone to pray every day for 2 minutes. Maybe you just don't do that. Maybe that's a simple next step for you. Maybe somebody in here, your next step is praying to give your life to Christ for the first time. That would be a huge next step. And maybe I'm talking to somebody who thinks that they've already taken that step, but if you're honest, you're like, I don't know. Just only live up to what you've attained. Maybe your next step is sharing your faith with somebody that you work alongside. Maybe your next step is to begin giving sacrificially and generously, either to our church or to another organization that is driven by the gospel. Maybe your next step, I don't know, what is your next step? I've given you some ideas, but my list isn't all inclusive. What's your next step? What does it look like for you to press on? Paul stops in the middle of chapter 3 and he goes, wait, just so everybody's on the same page. I'm not perfect, but I am going to press on. And that starts with just acknowledging where you're at, being totally honest with yourself, and then just asking yourself the question, what's my next step? I hope you don't feel any pressure in this, because there's not supposed to be pressure in this. Joy is not something that we are supposed to strive for and get in the end. Joy comes to us when we take our next step and when we press on. Joy isn't at the top of a 5.15, if you go back to my climbing thing. It's not at the top. Joy, there's joy in the journey. Joy is not reserved for the Christian elite. Joy comes to us when we take our next steps, when we walk in faith. We're all at different points in our spiritual journey, are we not? I mean, there's somebody in here who's literally never read the Bible, and that is awesome that you're here. There's some other people in here who have probably memorized books of the Bible. Did you know that God doesn't love either of those people any differently? None of us are perfect. We're not supposed to feel the pressure to be perfect. We're not supposed to go around acting like elite Christians. We're just supposed to be honest with where we're at, and then we're supposed to take the next step. Take the next step. When you came in, you had a blank 8x5 note card on your seat. And I want to give you a chance to answer those questions. What is your next step? What does it look like for you to press on? We are going to, I'm going to give you 3 or 4 minutes to think about this. I don't care if you're 18 or 80. What's your next step? I don't care if you've been here since the beginning of Three Creeks Church or this is your first week. What's your next step? And I will tell you this. I'm going to give you 3 or 4 minutes. We're going to turn on some music so that it doesn't, you can't hear babies crying and heaters and stuff like that. So hopefully it eliminates some of the outside distractions. But let me just tell you one thought that you might be tempted to have that would totally derail what God is trying to do in your life in the next 4 minutes. This is the toxic thought that you might be tempted to have during this exercise. The thought is, I wonder what they're writing down. I wonder what that person is writing down. I wonder what their next step is, because this is not a time for you and them. It's a time for you and God, for you individually, personally, to write down, what is your next step? What's your next step? Before we run out of here and do all of the things, can we just take 3 or 4 minutes and reflect on this question? You can't possibly be that busy that you can't sit here for 4 minutes and just think about this question. What's your next step? Let me give you 3 or 4 minutes. Go ahead. It's fun to stand over here and just watch everybody writing stuff down and answering that question. For those of you that wrote something down, for those of you that put down a next step, for who wrote down what it looks like for you to press on, I just want to encourage and affirm you that there's joy in the journey, that there's not just joy at the end, but there's joy in the journey. And I hope that this week that you would experience the thrill of obedience that comes with taking that step, that you wouldn't be discouraged or forgetful, but that you would go out of here and that you would take your step. And then I also think in a room this size that there's somebody in here who struggled for those 3 or 4 minutes. I'm not sure who you are, but I think you're out there. You just had a hard time answering that question, because if you're honest, you don't know where you're at and you don't know what your next step ought to be. You're just, I don't know, new to this, or you're so confused, or you have so many doubts, you don't even know where to start. And I just want you to just be honest about that. And I just want you to know that that's okay. That is okay this morning. If your card is empty, if you just did not know what to write, then I would encourage you to write your name down and to put your phone number on there and to fold it in half and to drop it in the connections basket on the way out. And I personally will go and find them, and I will text you or call you, and I would love to just sit down over a Chipotle burrito with you and ask you just some questions. I mean, I'm not going to have all the answers. I'm 33 years old, for goodness sakes. I couldn't possibly have all of the answers, but I would love to ask you questions and help you identify where you're at and what your next step ought to be. It would bring me great joy to get to do that with you. So I'd encourage you to do that. Paul writes one more verse, verse 17, that to me wraps up verses 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, and helps me know one more truth that helps all of that make sense. And I want to read it to you, and I want to just share one thought as we close today. Verse 17, Paul writes this. He goes, He goes, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. Just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. He says, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Even though Paul's not perfect, God's going to use him as a model. Can you believe that? He says, follow my example. He goes, I haven't obtained all this. I'm not perfect. I'm pressing on. You ought to follow me as an example. Because we are pressing on, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Had I wanted to be good at climbing, if I had gone away from that experience just excited about strapping on that harness again sometime and giving it another shot, probably the best way for me to improve climbing quickly would be to spend a lot of time with people who love to climb, to ask questions to people who have been climbing, to ask them about technique or different things that I could practice. These are the things that I would do if I wanted to be a good climber. And it's the same with our faith journey. Paul's saying, if you'd like to take your next step, and if you're wanting to press on, he says, keep your eyes on people who live as we do. Spend time with other people who love Jesus. Simply put, don't try to do this by yourself. Don't try to do this in a vacuum. Don't try to do this on your own. Involve other people. Be around other people. I'm not sure if this statistic that I'm about to share with you is totally accurate, but I think it illustrates my point. If you were to show somebody else what you wrote down today, you are 1.5 billion times more likely to actually do it. Does that statistic sound about right? I mean, come on. So many times we come and we go, oh, I'm going to do this, and we write it down. But if we just keep it to ourselves, we're so less likely to actually take the step that we feel like God wants us to take. If you show it to somebody, if you invite somebody into that, they can encourage you in it. They can challenge you to continue on doing it. I mean, isn't this the step that you want to take? You are significantly increasing your odds if you ask somebody else to know what that is and to encourage you in it. And so the closing challenge would be to don't try to do this alone. But by the end of the day today, tell somebody or show somebody what you wrote down, what your next step is. They could hold you accountable to doing it. They could encourage you when you don't feel like taking your next step, even though you know it's what you're supposed to do. So, Three Creeks, I hope you're encouraged today. I hope that you can take that you can take your next step, that you enjoy the thrill of obedience. Joy isn't reserved for the Christian elite. It comes in the journey of pressing on. And so I hope that you take your next step, and I hope you experience joy from it. Thank you all for being here this morning. I loved it. I loved seeing everybody, and I hope you have a tremendous week. Go and take your next step. See you later. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about Three Creeks Church, attend a Sunday morning service, or give financially to our church, go to threecreekschurch.com.